make this a Monday episode just because we're already recording it?
It's Monday.
If you can edit in time.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. I guess that's where we are then.
Monday,
hello, everybody. Welcome to Monday on Game of Owns. There is quite a large crew of us today.
Yeah, you know, we got this Volkswagen bus out of the garage and tuned it up, and we just went for a little joyride. But in our travels, we picked up, we kept picking up some guys on the side of the road who all had, armor and chainmail, and we look really good now, barreling down the highway as we record this show.
Yeah, we scavenged the dead among them, and who we did find left over from our massively large email chain is six bodies and six souls to bring you this episode on a brave Monday. I guess this is the last Monday before Season 4 begins.
Oh, no.
So should we welcome everyone? Don't all speak at once.
Welcome.
We have our good friend Marco, Hear Me War from Winter is Coming.
Hello, everyone. Nice to be back.
We have our good friend, Oz of Thrones from Winter is Coming.
Greetings, gentlemen. How are we?
We are great. And of course, we have a new friend of ours, a Mr. Patrick Allen. We shall call him Patty Cakes for today on our fine program from Fansided, who has joined us pleasantly before our new season begins.
Really excited to be here. I feel like I'm with Yoren off to the wall.
Oh,
wait. So who's Yoren? Which one of us?
Ooh. Please make it be Micah.
It's gotta be Micah.
We're on the road. We're on the road to season four, as you say. Less than a week left. It is unbelievable. The last 8 months, did they not just fly by, guys? Come on.
Well, it was slow in the beginning, I have to say that. But no, the past few weeks, man, I remember seeing the first trailer, and now we're here a week away from the premiere.
Just Micah and Zach and myself, we delve right into the second book in the series. And these books, you know, being 80 chapters long as they are, really held us over, really bridged the gap quite nicely. Before we knew it, it was, you know, February, and we only had 2 months to wait.
I think the listeners of this show, and also us making the show, and also you guys working on WIC, have a slightly different situation because we're kind of entrenched with it year-round. But I'd like to think that everyone listening kind of got to share in that experience with us, if not the entire experience, because we've had people writing in that have been either binge catching up with the episodes or who literally were staggering the entire year long like us. And I think now the long wait has crawled to a very slow halt, and we're almost here now.
I think you guys doing the show, speaking as a fan who sort of was a fan of Goo and then of WIC, having the show to listen to during the off season, or as you guys call it, your on season, it really helps you bridge the gap, especially when you're producing so many episodes of the show. You kind of feel like you're, even though your show is not Game of Thrones, it kind of feels like Game of Thrones. You're talking about Game of Thrones. It really helps get you through as a fan that period of not having anything to watch, and then the season's so short. That
right, you know, you're doing a community service here. I think that should really, it's important.
That's kind of you. You're right. I mean, it is only 10 weeks from now. We'll be sitting on the other end of this season, going, man, that was awesome. But we got another 8 months or nine or however long it takes with the next season.
Yeah, no, I mean, depending on how the episodes are staggered for holidays and stuff this year, either way, it's going to be a good, I don't know if you can call it the Game of Owns off season when the show is on, but it kind of, I don't know if it feels like that, but it's certainly different because so much of our content is there rather than us having to create it ourselves.
Yeah, I can't wait to start seeing this. And I think we should go around the room because last time we did this, it turns out I was the only one who hadn't seen the new season. So Marco, have you seen the new show?
No, looks like that there's nothing to see here in the Netherlands, so I haven't been treated to any previews, sadly.
Well, I'll just stand next to you then.
Good, there's space.
What about Oz, have you seen any of it yet?
No, stand next to me too. I haven't seen a thing.
Nice.
I'm in the southeastern United States. You know, we barely have cell service here. So,
running water.
Right, running water. I got to go clean the outhouse when we get done. So, you know, no, I haven't seen anything. I haven't heard anything. I stay away from the stuff. But I was incredibly jealous. I mean, how many of you guys have seen it? Like, I know Zach, you said you've seen it, and who else?
Just me.
Zach and Micah. And last episode, we had Rachel who had seen it. But
right. Rachel was at the Barclays.
So that was three against one. Now it looks like it's two against three or four.
Two against
four.
Three.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to bring up really quick before we get going, because Oz, you've been writing. How many different entities have we had come forward of your Looking Forward series so far this year? Because now you just posted your most recent one last week, and it's been an entire year-long process. But I know for you that must be strange, knowing that you'll no longer be looking forward if you're going to be actually in the middle of it coming Sunday night.
Yeah, you know, it was it was kind of an idea that me and Phil put together, and you know, it just kind of made sense. And there's so many, you know, the cool thing is that, you know, for an unsullied, you know, non-book reader, there's so many aspects of the storyline where, I mean, you can talk about, you know, 10, 12, 15 different storylines, and you can, you know, you can get off into tangents on how everything may turn out. And so they were time consuming to write, but they were relatively easy to write, even though you're still talking about only one television show, which is very, very strange. I mean, I try to imagine doing that with, you know, like four characters on a, you know, Scandal or something. I don't know. I mean, I don't watch Scandal, but the things that can happen on the show are just, you know, numberless. And, you know, I could have gone on for a long time. It was just, it seemed that, 10 was a good, you know, 10 was a good number, 10 episodes. And, you know, I had a few little throw-ins there, and, you know, everybody seemed to react to it pretty well. I was, you know, extremely happy to do it. And as long as it's entertaining somebody and not pissing off the Sullied too bad, then I'll keep doing it.
I'm looking up your thing right now. Let me see when you posted your first one this year. I had to like go really far back.
Yeah, it was back in July.
Yeah, that's right. It was the combination of Liza, the Littlefinger. I have this obsession with Liza, and I can't really explain it other than, you know, a 7 or 8 year old boy breastfeeding is a little interesting, but the whole, the eerie and the, you know, the moon door and wanting to see the little man fly and hopefully seeing that again in season 4, like I'm ecstatic about it. Just that storyline alone, strangely enough, but that's pretty much me. So
do you think he's still nursing?
Good question. I asked that in this past one that I wrote, you know, whether he'd graduated up to some type of Westeros formula or if he's on a, you know, if he's on a sippy cup now, or, you know, what the deal is. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how Baelish, you know, kind of entertains that. He always has some wisecrack about it. Very, very interesting aspect of the show, and I can't wait to see that location again.
I just think it's interesting. I'm looking at the Times posted, and yeah, it was back on July 3rd of 2013, and now your most recent one went up on the 25th of March, and now we're moving into the Oblivion. Who knows what's next? I really honestly, guys, sitting here talking to all of you, knowing that this is the episode that we sort of had last year right before the premiere of season 3, I kind of described it in the email as a deep breath before we go under this absolute undertaking. And I'm just thinking about this past year that we've had outside of the episodes, knowing that this is basically the episode beforehand. I don't know if we should let this one in. I think this should be a 3-hour like episode where we just basically talk about stories around the campfire that really treated us well over the past year.
Well, I liked your idea about the collective deep breath. We should really do that together. I mean, some of us are covering it, you know, for our various websites, and you know, and we're all kind of strung up, and we've seen all these trailers and all these images, and the Unsullied really have no idea, and the Sullied are just can't wait. It feels good to let out some of this pent up excitement here.
Well, seeing what I've seen from season 4, and I'm gonna have an actual thing that I formally write about it on the site this week. I've been permitted that thus far. That's gone okayed and green lighted. But seeing what I've seen of season 4 thus far, what I can say, just in reflection of the end of season 3, is just the beautiful advancement of how everything looks and feels. I just think that we're finally getting into maybe the more serious meat, where the showrunners and the people that make this program are much more confident in their abilities and are trying more things that are interesting. And I think it's just starting to really work out. And honestly, I think we got to see a lot of that in season 3 and how some of that was handled. I'm thinking specifically of the Red Wedding. But I think we're going to see that same kind of care and intensity moving forward. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I always find it interesting as we head into the season, knowing what's to come, more or less. I mean, storylines have certainly been altered, and, you know, they've been changed in some ways for the better, but just in other cases because of timing. But I just really enjoy going through it and watching those who, you know, haven't read the books or not as far along in the series, you know, what the reaction is. And, you know, so it's, Eric always has his popular theories that tend to come up, you know, as the season goes on. And then it's funny to watch whether or not they play themselves out. Normally they don't.
You know, it's not so much theories as a list of grievances. It's against against the things you won't tell me what happens. But sometimes my own will is.
I think that's a great segue, though, because you were at an event earlier this week, And you must have been drinking a fair amount because you texted me and you wanted to know something that was going to happen later on in the series. And I, in a way, refused to tell you.
This was like the situation on The Last Goo with Rachel that we did where it turns out everyone had seen the new season. And I was just like, what? What's going on here? What? I felt left out. I was at a dinner conversation. We had this beautiful feast. You guys should definitely check out the write-up I did. There was this brewery, Amagong, and Lakeshore Beverage in Chicago combined and did this release party for their Fire and Blood Ale. It's the third in the series of Game of Thrones beers. But we were middle through this feast, and it was themed like the Red Wedding. So there was this just huge feast, turkey and chicken and everything you could ever think to hope. Anyway, Wolf. We were in the middle of dinner, and it came out that there was more to Catelyn Stark's story that apparently has yet to be told in the series.
Well, clearly they've been drinking too much too. They don't know what they're talking about.
Little things like that, you really have to be careful going out on the town being unsullied, as it turns out, to these Thrones events, because stuff like that comes. And that, but the deal was, I asked Micah, and he says, why don't you ask your girlfriend? And who was next to me. And I said, do you know what happens? She says, yeah, I read it too. And my girlfriend hasn't read the books either. But it turns out, yet again, everybody knows but me, this plot element that apparently is to come in the series. Very, very interesting stuff. But I'm trying to just toe the line. You know, if I have something spoiled for me, the odds are that I don't know the where or the when or the why. I may know one of those three things, but it's never all three of those things. And so I think if you look at it that way, I'm able to go into season four being fairly unsullied. I don't know about you guys, if you have any of those plot points possibly partially spoiled for you.
I'm sullied. I've read all the books. I'm on my second pass through them, but I can tell you that, I don't know how you do it, Eric. I would be just terrified all the time of having it be ruined for me. Like, I mean, when Deathly Hallows came out, I remember I was in New York and I went and I got the book and I got on the train and it was weird because there were all these people on the train reading Harry Potter, you know, at midnight, right, which is just a strange thing to see in New York City. And I took it back to my apartment and I turned off my phone and would not talk to anybody and put on a pot of coffee until I was done. Like, it was literally, I went into seclusion, and I can't imagine. I was so paranoid about reading anything on the internet for fear of being spoiled. So I don't know how you do it, being such a big fan of Thrones, to just brazenly walk out there with at any moment somebody could just run up to you and tell you that, you know, Bran turns into an eagle and
all that. Thanks for giving our listeners ideas on the upcoming live shows. Yeah.
Yes. No, I'm gonna hold my ears. I'm never gonna show up on those.
What about you, Marco?
Oh, I'm solid. I know everything, and I guess because we follow it so closely with the development and all the trailers and analyzing all the stills, we even get at least slightly spoiled in terms of the new plot elements they're bringing in or the shortcuts they're taking in their different subplots. So sadly, we know approximately what to expect that is there in the show that's not in the books. But hey, I'm same as you, Eric. We don't know exactly how they're going to pull that off. So that's also something to look forward to.
Completely. Absolutely. 100%. I have been let in on one little thing that might happen this season that I think is very, very minor. It happens to a minor character, so I'm not really all that concerned with it. But I mean, it's like Eric said. I mean, you just have to tread very, very lightly, and you know, as much as you'd like to look around for news and information, you really have to stop yourself and go, no. I mean, because somebody's going to do something.
Well, I'm thinking specifically of our readers when I think about the kinds of people that are as involved as we are when it comes to coverage and news, and you know, we have commentary of things that are happening on this podcast and et cetera, but I think that people that are sullied especially are able to follow those same cues that you are, Marco, and deduce the sorts of things that will be happening. But I think that it's clear now, knowing all of that moving forward, that the real magic, and I think everyone knows this, but it's fun to say, is seeing exactly how they do portray this kind of story that we've already read and already been sullied on in so many different ways actually on screen, like seeing what they literally do put together in this conversation, what lines they do add and what things that they see are important enough to put money into.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like what Marco said though, too, because, you know, even for those of us who are sullied, you know, simple things like titles of episodes, you know, they more likely will immediately resonate with us than people who haven't read the books. I mean, people who haven't read the books can certainly speculate on it, but for us, it's a little bit of a nod to say, oh, great, they're definitely including this in the show. Or, you know, as you're going through and you're reading descriptions, you get excited knowing that things that you were really excited about reading are actually going to be on the screen.
Well, I think the mark of a good episode title, too, is that it can mean several things.
Yep.
I mean, recently the finale title was released as being The Children. And I'm thinking, well, children are very important in the show. You know, it's the lineage and the heirs and all that. So maybe, I don't know, maybe the episode before all the adults died in the whole kingdom and it's all the kids who are left. Or it can mean Children of the Forest. Everybody knows I love those guys. It can mean a ton of things. And so we still don't exactly know until afterwards when we're able to say, man, that title, that was so good.
I mean, we've been spoon-fed bits of detailed information and also premieres, you know, things to keep us occupied in this realm while the season is not here yet. And that has also been, I think, just fodder for people like us to obsess over. And, you know, episode titles being released ahead of time, things like that are for people like us that need to draw conclusions out of it before it's here.
So, like, I have a question for the Sully guys.
Ooh,
is that
dangerous
cool?
Territory.
Be careful there.
Dangerous territory. I know. I'm not going to, Marco, don't spoil me. I know you want to. The truth is that, I mean, you know, these books started being written, I mean, years and years and years ago. I mean, even, you know, back when I was young. And so I guess the difficult thing for me to get through is, like, I know there's got to be an expectation for book readers coming into this show. I mean, all the way back to season one. But, like, has there been, I mean, I know there's disappointments and I know there's always going to be arguments about adaptation and how D&D have done it. But, like, of the past, like, I don't know, maybe from the first season, just so we don't get into spoiler territory, like, what is something that you were not pleased with that they did? Or is there anything y'all can just kind of give me an idea of, like, what they didn't do, something that you wish they would have done a different way? Is there anything like that?
Marco, that's all you, buddy.
Right. definitely the Corin Halfhand storyline in the second season could be much more developed, right? And I think that's pretty much the only gripe I have, that there was really weak compared to what's there in the books. Though we've heard through some channels that there were some objective reasons why they failed to portray that on screen, and we might learn about it at some point or not. But sadly, that was lacking, right? And it's just that, you know, how much more powerful that is in the books, and you know that it could be translated to screen, but it didn't quite manage to get there, and that's a shame for the Unsullied to miss.
Actually. So he was like a major guy, and then of course when Jon Snow kills him, you know, it had some dramatic effect on Unsullied viewers, but not as much as it should have.
Right, there's much more exposition. The relationship between Jon and Corin is really much stronger. It's developed further. And then it means so much more when Jon kills him. And there are some really good lines that never made it to the show either. So,
yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, it's a bummer because it is less full in the show than it is in the book. And you kind of did want to see that. But you can also see where they had to make a tough decision. And they had to say, we've only got so much time this season. And is it going to be the Jon and Halfhand show, or is it going to be the Jon and Ygritte show? And I think that relationship ultimately is probably more important to Jon's story arc, so that's what they went with. So you can kind of see that, you know, they had to make a tough decision there, but I think they've done a really tremendous job adapting the show, and I have very few gripes while I'm watching it for things that are left out.
I think that it's interesting because I saw the first season before I started reading the books, and I remember how close, at least for a Game of Thrones, you know, literally, not necessarily word for word, but I almost felt like the first season was a perfect duplicate of the book. And then obviously as they moved into season two, things changed a little bit. I know you said don't get too far ahead, you know, to not possibly get into spoiler territory, but there are definitely some things that haven't been developed that I noticed in, at least in the first episode of season four, they sped up much more quickly because they didn't take the time to develop it in season three. And then I also think that there was a potential ending to season three that a lot of people were looking forward to that hopefully is included in season four. So I think it's something that would upset a lot of Sullied if it is not included. And I'll just leave it at that. I won't go into any detail.
Kind of on this topic, though, one of the things that one of my buddies is talking to me about almost nonstop is the animated histories that appear on the home video, like Blu-ray releases. Have you guys watched any of these? You know what this is all about?
Yeah, they're on YouTube.
Oh, they are on YouTube.
Yeah, you can see a bunch of them on. I don't know if they're all on there, but a lot of them are on there.
Because they get the actors who play the characters in the show to go into sort of the appendix and the history and the backstory that's written out, you know, in the ends of these books. At least the end of Clash of Kings has an appendix. And it's like an animated, it's story time, basically, with these actors recounting, and sometimes they'll do different, like, opposing sides of the same story, like the Battle at the Fork. And apparently, like, that to me, and I have yet to watch a single one, but I'm told that they are absolutely amazing, and really an alternate kind of way to get some of this book material into, like, the show. Like, it meshes, it mixes it with the show in that way that they have these actors reading this. So it kind of, I don't know, is like an apologia for, you know, these storylines that get cut, but also things like the flashbacks. Like, this show does not do flashbacks, but the books do flashbacks. And so, it, you know, at least in certain ways. And so it's kind of a nice, a happy medium, or, you know, just it's supplemental, but it just seems to be like it would be something really, really cool. And apparently they're still going strong on the home video releases.
There's a lot of exposition, and I think that as a non-book reader, it can really enrich your experience of the show by making things that are in the show that are hinted at make a lot more sense to you. I think it's a choice you have to make, because there are some things that maybe they're going to, you know, if you want to go for the full on just the show experience and not have anything else, then maybe you don't want to watch them. But I don't think it really spoils anything, but it really maybe enriches your experience of watching the show.
I don't think it spoiled anything for me. I mean, it's one of my favorite things when I get the Blu-rays. And one of the things that I plan on doing, you know, this week before the premiere is to watch the ones on the new the S3 Blu-ray. And, you know, I recommend it to anybody, you know, to anybody that just watches the show. I recommend it because there's so much information in it. And I've just been able, you know, I don't think any of it's spoiler stuff. Maybe I could be wrong. But, you know, since I haven't read the books, I have nothing to compare it to. And so it's all relative. But I just think it's all just outstanding information. And I love them. I love the way they animate them, and they get the actors to read them. And it's very, very well done, I think.
Yeah, and just in general, I came across a summary here on denofgeek.com about things that were specifically revealed on the Blu-ray in additional extra footage. And really, it's just, you know, it's kind of like what they've been doing pre-hashing Season 4. On the Season 3 Blu-ray, they have interviews. There's an hour-long documentary where they talk about, you know, sort of the show experience, making the show last year and leading into the new year. And it's an interesting write-up. You know, certain character moments. And again, it's kind of like it goes a little way into foreshadowing and like telling us what we're going to expect without specifically telling us what we're going to expect.
I think that, you know, one of the great things that the show does do is it has last time on Game of Thrones or previously on Game of Thrones, they very purposefully include things that have happened in the past that are relevant to the particular episode that's coming up, even if these things may have happened very, very far in the past.
So is this where we officially ask everyone if we could definitively say, if you have to say it out loud on a podcast, what it is that you're looking forward to most in season four without spoiling those of us who aren't spoiled?
It's like a pre-own.
Yeah. Can we do that now? Is this the time and place for it?
Let's do it, man.
All right. Well, who wants to go first?
I'll go. I'm looking forward to Theon's escape. Hopefully the Bastard of Bolton dies.
Who said he escaped?
Well, I've seen him on horseback. Oh, he could still be in the employ of the... You suck, Micah.
You've heard of dreams and flashbacks, haven't you?
You've just crushed my dreams and my flashbacks. Thank you.
That's... Okay, so this episode was a success.
Yes, thank you. If I have to throw my hat in the ring, I'm going to say that I am looking forward to the storyline of Bran, Hodor, and that company moving forward. The Reeds moving into North of the Wall territory. I think it's going to be probably the most interesting stuff that happens.
For me, I'm interested to see what happens to the Lannisters. Just having seen the trailers, and things don't look as cheery as they were at the end of last season. Or even two seasons ago, winning Blackwater, and then with the Red Wedding last season.
We talked about how they were on
top.
Yeah,
we've talked a lot about that, but, with the Red Viper coming to town and, the Tyrells there as well.
As for me, there's two things that I'm excited about. One is the overall pacing of the season, because there's so many big things going to happen, and not all happen at the very end. So it's going to be a very different season from the previous ones. And the second thing I'm actually looking forward to is Yara's storyline, because that will be something completely new. And I wonder how, where it's going to end up and how they're going to tie it back into the book canon story. So two very interesting things coming up.
I'll mark on the pacing. I think it's going to be really exciting, because I think ever since Ned, sort of part of the fan culture of the show, specifically, is the sort of the oh shit moment. When's going to be the next oh shit moment? And I think there's going to be a lot of oh shit moments in this season. So it's going to be a little bit more unpredictable for the Unsullied. But I'm looking forward to seeing the Stannis storyline and where Stannis ends up and where Stannis goes from here. Stannis and Davos.
Great choice. I should have picked that now that I think about it.
That is good. I'm going to go. I've got to echo the Bran thing, because
I feel better.
I think. No, I really do. I think it's extremely important, and I think it's one of those things that maybe on the show just got overshadowed a little bit, because, there's a lot that happens in 309 before the Red Wedding that, you kind of it gets filed back in the back, just because everybody's going, oh my God, what the hell just happened? And, there was a lot of important things, I think, that happened with Bran's storyline that it just kind of gets shoved to the back. And, it's got to be a huge part of the story. I mean, there's just got to be a lot more to it. So I'm really, really looking forward to that, seeing what they get into. I mean, if you look at the interview with Christian Narn, he looks like he's messed up pretty bad. So it's not a walk in the park with the White Walkers, apparently. So. And then I want to see Ramsay and Roose together. I want to see that interaction. So I'm looking forward to that a lot.
Well, I guess now is where we say goodbye to Marco, because he has to leave. He's on other people time, completely across the planet.
Exactly, on Europe time. I hear some birds chirping, but I'm not fooled. I know winter's coming, so I have to prepare. One more week to go.
All right, well, nice. We officially say goodbye to you, sir, and welcome you, and hope that you come back very soon. Say bye, everybody listening.
Bye, Marco. See you, Marco.
Later, Marco.
Bye, Marco.
Bye. See you next time.
Now that we've said goodbye to Marco, I have to reply to Oz and say, I think that seeing Ramsay and his father together is going to be awesome.
I thought he was the wayward son. I thought Roos was like, yeah, I'm crazy, but my son, man, he's crazy, crazy.
After the Red Wedding, though, all bets are off. I really don't know what to expect from the Boltons. My mom was asking me specifically about the Boltons. Actually, today is my brother's birthday, my big brother. And she was just talking to me about Game of Thrones, because the new season's coming and it's all exciting and blah, blah, blah. And she was just like, the Boltons. So the thing about Theo Grayson.
Theo? Like Theo from The Cosby Show?
The thing about Theo Grayson, and I'm like, Theon Greyjoy. She's like, yeah, the thing about Theon Greyjoy, she was like, that X thing, when they brought him back, that X. And I was like, aha, yeah, you see, that X thing. So I think that it's not just something. Stuff like that, I don't think that it was ever a question, but I have a little bit of proof in front of me, because outside of the people I record the podcast with, I don't do much Game of Thrones talking in my normal work. So I think that we have an unofficial verification that people are catching on to things like the Bolton sigil being gone, the torture device, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's a great point.
Something I noticed I had never noticed, and this is just weird. It's one of those things going back and you're just, watching. I happened to turn on HBO Zone the other night, and one of the first season episode was on, and there's a conversation going on between John Umber and Robb Stark, where they kind of get into an argument. And of course, Robb's direwolf goes and takes off a couple of fingers. But in the background, there's a Bolton, the Bolton sigils back there, the Bolton banners back there. And it's like, you know, the first season, I had no idea what I was looking for, but I saw it the other night and I went, well, you know, I'll be damned. There they are already. So, I don't, you know, it's just one of those things. I could go back and catch it's all those details. And yeah, we're also dialed into the dialogue because I don't want to miss anything. But then you go back and you see how much detail they put into it. And I mean, it's really impressive. They really could have screwed it up, guys, but they didn't. I mean, it's really an unbelievable show.
Yeah, like the books, there's a whole lot of that subtle stuff that's there, but isn't necessarily talked about. And I think George is really good at, like, how do you put something subtly in with writing? Because you're actually writing it down pen to page. But
right. Specifically
with that Bolton story, I think that was pretty subtly handled. And I think that they, after all is said and done, now that we have kind of seen how it happens, and now that we're going to see how it happens even more so after all of this in season four, I think that they handled the Ramsay and the whole entire Bolton situation and being the turncloaks, blah, blah, blah. I think that they handled it pretty well.
Well, there's another moment too. I can't remember exactly when Rob has his map out, where the Bolton sigil is one of those little pieces.
Yeah.
That's there. So that's just another little nugget, tip of the cap, so to speak. But I really liked what Marco and Patty Cakes were saying about the
Patty Cakes.
About P. I'm just going to call him P.
There you go.
About the pacing of this season, and particularly because we've heard in a number of different interviews, a lot of the actors say that there are multiple episode nines or the equivalent of episode nines in this season, and that just has to get you excited. I mean, if that doesn't get you pumped and ready to watch the season over the next 10, 12 weeks, whatever it's going to be, I don't know what to tell
you. It's going to be awesome. I just think it's good because it's more of a chance that my friends, and I know all of you listening understand this, that my friends and some of my other friends will even hear about Game of Thrones or care about watching a little bit, because I want more people to watch Game of Thrones. You know what I mean? Like, I hope that season four, with as much that there is to talk about, which is what we've been told unofficially through these endless streams of interviews and et cetera, is that this is going to be exactly how you're describing it, Micah. And if that is the case, I do hope that that helps the show reach a much wider audience, because I just think that there's so much to be excited about. And if the recent events the past few weeks have been any kind of indicator that people are having fun with this, then I think that it should happen for sure. It should grow. I think that it's in the position to keep growing, though.
And maybe the show will even get some Emmy love again. You know, it's been a little while. The show has been consistently awesome. And, you know, nobody goes in it, you know, to make the awards. But at the same time, you know, seeing as how it was recognized in season one, it'd be nice to have that again. Because this season, from all that we're hearing, is just going to be absolutely the most amazing show on television.
Breaking Bad is done, right? So they have a chance.
Well, it is. However, there's that spinoff, Better Call Saul. But also, I'm not quite sure if the last season is eligible because of it has to do with like the air dates, right?
Well, just to touch on spoilers for a second, we talked a little bit about it towards the beginning of the episode, and I'm just overly impressed with how much is out there, yet how few people seem to get spoiled. And just knowing the fact that 7,000 people watched this first episode at the Barclays Center just last week, I haven't really seen anything out there. And even on our Twitter, you know, from as much that could be thrown at it as possible, nobody spoils. And
oh yeah, I was asked, it's impressive. Even in this episode, you guys asked, like, how do I go outside? Well, it's easy. I mean, how do they keep from spoiling everybody? That's the real question.
They're good people. That's what it is.
Good people. That's what it comes down to. It's good people. And I think that I wouldn't have been spoiled at the beer event if it wasn't a beer event. So
hey, there was beer being drank at the Barclays Center too.
Yeah, oh,
so,
but I mean, you know,
not
that
an excuse.
It was still a small conversation.
I think you
nobody
need to hunt that person down.
Same kills Dumbledore.
It's true. We live in a culture of decent people, which is great.
Do you feel like Game of Thrones is a little more mainstream than Potter? Like, it's a little bit cooler.
I would say it's more mainstream.
Cooler in the sense that I feel like there were some people that were really just vindictive against Potter, you know, so they were the types of jerks that, like, got in their cars and drove by people standing in line to get the books and yelled, you know, Snape kills Dumbledore and Harry dies at the end. And, you know, I feel like more people are kind of into Thrones. There's, you know, there's more more sex, more violence than in Potter. So it maybe people view it as a little bit cooler. So there's just not sort of that hate, Game of Thrones hate.
You think people respect it more, or they treat it more seriously because it's a more serious show?
I think it's an adult show, right? So
it's an adult show.
Yeah.
Exactly, I think that it's respected more because all of us Potter kids grew up and we care to watch it. We care to give it our attention.
Interesting.
So that's what I think, damn it.
That and all the boobs. There's a lot of boobs.
There are.
All right, I got one more question. And I know that you guys see it. I mean, obviously we don't want any details or anything like that, but like, scale of 5 stars, can you give it like 3 stars, 4 stars, 5 stars, thumbs
for the
up
first
thumbs
episode?
Down? Yeah.
Ooh. Micah,
I'd give it 5 stars because it's still the month of March and nothing less is acceptable.
Yeah,
but
I'd give it 5 stars.
Aside from that, no, I really think that this season premiere, it delivers on so many different levels, and it's going to make you angry, it's going to make you laugh. There's just so much stuff that happens in 60 minutes. It's probably not that long, but you get what I'm saying. It's really going to keep your attention. And it was interesting watching it in an arena with, you know, 7,000 other people around you. And it was like you were watching a movie, and, you know, you got cheers when certain people showed up, and you got a lot of laughs out of a lot of different, scenes. I think it's just a really great mix, and loose ends are definitely tied up in this episode on a number of different levels, and you have closure to some things, and I just think it's the beginning of what's going to be a really epic season.
Absolutely. I think that they've really stepped it up in a lot of different ways, and I can't wait for everyone to see it, and I can't wait for everyone to see the rest of the season. I think that it's going to be fantastic. I think it's going to be historical in our approach to the show. I think it's going to be on a completely different level than it ever has been. And I'm just excited for the world to see it.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see it.
So what do we do now? Is this where we cascade slowly into the ending of our episode? We've only got a select few amount of days left, but I'm really glad that we were able to pull in some of our friends for this cathartic release, because I feel like I'm officially ready to tackle the episode on Sunday night, right after we get done watching it and we record the episode that we'll play that next Monday morning.
Yeah. Definitely. Can I just add one more thing? Nobody makes an entrance like Oberyn Martell. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
That sounds
nobody,
interesting.
Nobody on the show will make an entrance like this guy does.
It's even better than Tywin's entrance into the throne room with his horse shitting.
No, not better than that. No.
How can it be better than that?
Nope.
I hope it's not Oberyn shitting.
No.
Though he might be into that too. We don't know that yet.
We don't know yet.
I know nothing, gentlemen.
You know nothing.
Well, guys, you know what? We got something on our Twitter, and we were talking about this on this episode about holding back in the use of spoilers. This was sent to us by Ali Tarwater, a friend and listener to this show, and it's a newspaper clipping. I love how you can send newspaper clippings to each other these days by just photographing them with your phone and putting them on Twitter rather than having to mail them. I still get mailed newspaper clippings from my grandmother. Anyway, this newspaper clipping says, "Spoiler, rotten kids. Apparently rowdy students in a school were stunned into silence after their maths teacher threatened them with Game of Thrones spoilers."
Yes.
The fed-up teacher asked students at the Belgian school who watched the fantasy show, and most of them said they did, quote, "I have read all the books, and from now on, when there is too much noise, I will write the name of the next death."
Oh,
end
my
quote.
God.
The teacher said, silencing the room.
That's horrible.
That's power.
That's effed up. It's just effed up. She's going to lose her job.
Knowledge is power. Power is power. Whiteboard, whatever she writes up on the, or maybe it's a blackboard. I don't know how modern this is.
Dry erase, I'm sure.
Whatever happened to the damn paddle?
Whatever happened to the
paddle? Yeah, they're like, please, I'll take corporal punishment over this. Please.
Yes. Exactly how it is in Belgium.
That's perfect.
That's a interesting tactic to take against your students.
You got to do what works. And apparently, kids who are way too young to be watching this show are watching this show.
I can't tell you how many nights I snuck in like to my living room when it was 10:30 and I thought that was really late to watch Mortal Kombat on Stars.
The first one?
Yeah, of course the first one. Johnny Cage, Goro, bring it on.
Your soul is mine.
But I mean, are we surprised? You know, think about, like, what would you try and watch on HBO late at night? Similar stuff to Game of Thrones, right? Am I the only one?
No, you're definitely not the only one.
So we had that newspaper clipping from Allie. Thank you for sharing. She, of course, shared it via our Twitter account, our Twitter feed. We can be found at twitter.com/GameOfOwns. Or if you're already logged into Twitter, just at reply us, at GameOfOwns. Mm-hmm. That is not the only method. You can also scrawl upon our wall, which is, of course, our Facebook wall, located at facebook.com/GameOfOwns. We have an email address as well where you can send entire letters and entire newspapers, actually, if you take a photo of them. contact@gameofowns.com is our email address. And, you know, we had a few entrants to the contest I held, which nobody knew about, called Send Me a New Phone Background Desktop.
Okay.
And over Twitter, this also just happened over Twitter, Kendra Griffey sent us a photo of a baby camel. It is the whitest, snowiest camel I've ever seen.
It's beautiful.
And Kendra says, I will squeeze him and hug him and call him Shaga.
Perfect.
But,
that's a great name for a camel, by the way.
It's so cute.
Congratulations, Kendra. You've won. This is the cutest camel, and it is now my phone background. Thank you.
We still have two gentlemen remaining as guests on this show, and I think that they would each like to tell you where they live in this world. Not their actual home addresses, but maybe an internet address that you can find them if you so choose to.
Yeah, you can find me, Patty Cakes, at rpatrickallen on Twitter. And of course, you should check out fansided.com for all your sports and entertainment needs. The Fansided Network, of which Winter is Coming, is now a part. We're very excited about that. So we got a lot of really great sites for you to check out. Starting some new fan sites, starting a True Detective site, starting a Walking Dead site that's coming up here in a few hours. So check it out. Don't just stay on Wick. Expand your mind and check out the rest of the Fansided Network. It's a cool place.
But if you want to stay on Wick.
But you can stay on Wick. You always come back to Wick.
You can leave the tab open.
Rinse and repeat.
Right.
If you do choose to hang around on Winter's Coming, you may find a post come down the line from a certain friend of ours. And he goes by the name of Oz.
Gentlemen. Hey, first of all, let me just say thank you guys for having me. This is my goo debut.
It is.
And I've been wanting to say goo debut for a long time.
That's awesome.
I want Patrick to know that I would really like to call you Pea Cakes, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Pea Cakes? I like that.
Okay. Pea Cakes for short.
Pea Money would be okay, too, but I like Pea
Money.
Cakes.
Yeah,
P-Money's good.
P-Money's
right. And good. Look, guys, you know, I try to stay away from spoilers like as bad as I can. And as much as I would like to send out information, I'm scared to death somebody's going to, you know, shoot me an email that says, hey, Oz, guess who dies tomorrow? And
right.
I don't want that. But, I'm on Twitter, Osborne34, O-Z-B-O-R-N-34. If you swear not to send me spoilers, and if you do, I'll report you to Twitter, and they'll laugh at me and say you're an idiot. And, it will make no difference. But, you know, just as long as you're cool and you don't spoil a man, then we're all good. We're groovy, guys, and I appreciate you guys having me. It's a good show, and the dedication that you guys have to this show is pretty spectacular. So, what are you on episode like 206 now or something like that?
I think something like that.
It's ridiculous.
We will certainly have you back, sir. I think it's a breath of fresh air for a lot of our listeners to finally put a voice to the name, at least, right?
Well, I definitely hope so. I hope I didn't disappoint.
Not at all.
P-Cakes, you're the man.
Oh, I try. I'm doing my best, man.
You're doing good.
Don't want to be a poser. As a listener of the show, I'm kind of disappointed that I know that when this ends, I'm not going to hear the music start coming up, because that's my favorite part. Is listening to it is actually hearing the music. But I don't like, when could it come? Like, it could be coming up right now. You know, I'm listening tomorrow.
I'm going to hear it coming.
Yeah.
Is it coming?
We can sing it to you when it's about time for it to come, if you guys would like us to.
God,
it's
please, just,
although I think before we leave today, Micah will approach us with Tidings of Great Joy from iTunes. Am I correct in this, Micah?
It is still the month of March, so nothing less than 5 stars is acceptable over on iTunes, where you can leave us a nice little rate and review, just like Griffey Lad did, who says... And this is a very self-serving review. I'm just putting that out there at the beginning. This is the best Game of Thrones, A Song of Ice and Fire podcast I have found. Intelligent, professional, and still feels like I'm sitting in my living room with friends. They keep me excited and engaged in the series, both mediums, even during periods of production stagnation. That's an interesting way to put it. Even better, they bring new theories and thoughts that have never crossed my thoroughly sullied mind. Thank you, and keep it up.
Thank you, Griffey lad.
Another one here from Georgie Sweeting, who put a very nice title in there, You Subscribe or You Die. I don't know if it's that serious, but she's all the way from Australia, and she says, in the Game of Owns, you subscribe or you die. This podcast is the absolute best for Game of Thrones news, theory, and discussion. Not only is it intelligent, but it is also a hilarious addition to my week. Unlike other podcasts, it's regularly delivered to your ears and always quality. Can't wait for each episode and the new season to start. P.S. Pretty please, can I have a shout out for my 18th name day on March 30th? What a coincidence, which I'll be celebrating in true Robert Baratheon style.
Happy birthday!
We are recording this on the 30th, so we can safely say that we wish you a happy birthday today, right now. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Georgie Sweeting from Australia. Georgie.
Happy name day.
Yeah, ooh, happy name day. Excuse me.
Happy name day.
Yes. Night. All right, Zach, here we go. Cue the music. Finals.
Okay. Music is coming.
It's coming right now.
You're living in it now, Oz.
I'm so excited. Can't believe it.
The final review from Glenn, a.k.a. The One.
Read it fast so the music doesn't die.
I started listening to this podcast about 2 months ago. At the time, I more or less sampled a few other Game of Thrones theme shows, but this has been my favorite of them all.
Glenn, we don't have time to read your entire review, but thanks, blah, 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 blah.
I found the new host to be insightful and entertaining, with an evident passion and enthusiasm for both the TV show and the book series. You have earned a loyal fan. Adieu.
What? What was that last word?
Adieu. However the fuck you want to say it.
Adieu. Goodbye.
Well,
adieu.
It's okay, Micah. That one trips me up, too.
Goodbye. Bye, everybody.
Adieu.
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 I did.
Ooh, someone has some wind.
Somebody's got some wind.
He's outside.
And wind chimes.
Was that for effect?
No, I think that was real.
Oh. Is that what it's like?
The winds of winter.
So do we say bye to everyone now?
No, we say adieu.
Make sure to keep listening this week because the show is almost here.
Shit's about to get real.
Mm-hmm. Don't.
Don't watch.
Don't what?
But. Don't pronounce your D's like T's.
What?
He's right. Listen to the man.